Father Martin, good morning.
Good morning, Father Emil. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm glad to see that you're up already.
Oh, yes. I've been up for quite a while. Freedom comes with a price, you know.
Absolutely. So have you got used to being back in Pietermaritzburg?
I'm still settling in.
Still settling in. All right. Anyway, I'm sure they're all very happy to have you back again.
Well, yes, I hope so.
You hope so. Martin, we thought let's talk a little bit. It is Freedom Day today, and you know, there are going to be a lot of political speeches and all that sort of thing happening in different places. And we thought let's have a look at Freedom Day from our Catholic perspective and the gospel values perspective and so on. And I know that you would have lots to share with us about today. So how would you like to kick off?
Well, I think I'm going to go further back than the gospel to an old rabbinical saying. And it goes like this. It took the Almighty one night to take Israel out of Egypt and 40 years to take Egypt out of Israel.
That's very good.
And really, in my consideration, this is where we stand in our very young democracy, that we have been taken out of a previous dispensation of injustice, but now we face the challenge of coming to conversion so that the injustices, the need for revenge, the need for self-sufficiency and building up wealth at the cost of human relationships, that those things be taken out of us. And in this, the gospel and Christ Jesus himself is the only guide for us. So we are busy with this. It's a process. Freedom is always a process. It's never a once-off event. It's a process in which we all need to be involved equally, and it is a process in which we need to constantly approach God for wisdom and insight in how to take the next step.
Is Freedom Day, what was the origin of Freedom Day?
Well, of course, this day, 22 years ago, we were all standing in very, very long lines at polls to take part in the first fully democratic election where everybody had a vote, to restructure our country away from the previous dispensation and into a new dispensation which had the Freedom Charter and human rights principles at its very basis. And I still remember it well. I voted in Velcom at the Magistrates' Court, which is just across the road from the church.
Right.
And the line snaked all the way along almost to the church. So all I had to do was walk out of my front door and be a part of the queue waiting to vote, enjoying boudoirs and all sorts of things being sold and distributed at that point, and people sharing their meals one with another.
I remember those that day. My goodness gracious, and I'm sure many of the listeners listening now will recall that day as well. The queues just snaking their way around blocks, waiting to place their vote. What an incredible
day. And I think
what's
important for us on the Freedom Day, this is what we achieved as a society and as a people. Not given to us from the outside, not won through war either, but what we gave ourselves on that day when truly we had an experience of all being equal and rejoiced in it.
Right. Do you think we've lost some of that spirit over the years?
Yes, we have. Because we haven't hung on to the responsibility of freedom. We've invested it in organizations and even political parties to look after us. And we've forgotten that we are the main agents of our own freedom.
Right.
And I look with a certain amount of worry to the current situation. Okay, we're in an election cycle. There will be polarized language. But the violence that is brewing there, violence arises out of selfishness, out of forgetting how we actually belong to each other to maintain our freedom.
What do you think we should be doing to get back to that spirit that was there, that excitement that was there so many years ago?
Well, to recall it, memory, of course, is a great thing. And I hope somewhere along the line on broadcasts and television. Today there will be recalls of interviews with people in those queues, pictures of those queues, to just remind us of the best that we are capable of.
Yes.
Remember, so much of our Catholic liturgy is about remembering and memory that makes present the ideals, the hopes, the wishes, and the will of God to us.
Yes.
So memory is a very important aspect.
Right.
And then, of course, the personal responsibility to take hold of that again, to act as responsible citizens within the body politic.
Yeah, I suppose there are going to be a lot of beating on drums today and so on, but I think the sort of things you've been talking about today are so much more important than you know, brandishing our drums and sticks in the air and saying, yes, you know, we are free at last. And there is a lot of work to be done still.
There's a tremendous amount of work, and we mustn't underestimate it.
Mm.
On the other hand, we don't need to fall into a depression about it. Because we are empowered to do this work, and especially ourselves as Christians and believing Catholics, we know that this kingdom of justice, the kingdom of God's presence, is available to us, is available to our experience through prayer and through participation in worship and the sacraments. So the challenge for us as Christians is to bring that experience to our brothers and sisters in this country.
That's what we can be doing as Christians. But of course, there are many people in the country who are not Christians, who are nothing at all. And we need to give them a message of hope as well.
Yes, and I think all people of goodwill have the same ideals for a just community, for the rule of law, for a human rights basis to our legislation and our personal interactions and our interactions with government. The ideals are common because, once again, as Christians, we believe that these ideals are placed in our lives by the redemptive power of Christ.
Right.
And we do not have to have a profession in Christ to have these things. All people of goodwill have this vision in which we can stand together and work together.
Martin, you know, we can be talking about the ideals like that, but they're, as you've already intimated, we've gone through ups and downs in the last 20 years. And surely there is some kind of a perspective or spirit that we should be having for those times when we didn't match up to the expectations and so on, where we've failed and where there's been violence and xenophobia and where there have been all sorts of things that we regret now. Surely there should be an approach to this unfortunate spirit?
Well, there is, and that's the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, whose work isn't finished, and that's on the government level.
Right.
There are always talks of reviving it and getting it going again, and there are equal voices to the opposite by those, I think, who have guilty consciences. But that is one of the mechanisms that we do have available to us. And the other mechanism is to live this, freedom that we have, to live this co-responsibility that we have in the small units where we can make the biggest difference. That's our families, our neighborhoods, our church communities. That from there are also a great tsunami, if you will, of goodwill and of responsibility and of charity and mercy, especially in this year of mercy, will cover the nation. We must never underestimate our ability of small changes building to great change.
You know, I recall years ago when the Berlin Wall came down and, of course, apartheid is demolished and all that sort of thing. Breaking down all these walls, there are still walls between people, between churches, between political parties, between countries and so on. And maybe the breaking down of these walls is still something that we must think about and do something about.
Oh, yes, because the breaking down of the external walls, I think, lulled us into a certain, we've done it now, we don't need to do any more. But, of course, it's those internal walls that are the most difficult because we're often blind to them. And that's why we need, and once again, our Christian answer is a constant process of renewal and repentance. We've got asking God to enlighten our blindnesses about ourselves, to break down the walls within ourselves, preventing us from extending a hand of love and mercy to others.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, when I think of the days of apartheid, there was so much unity around amongst the different churches and groups and so on, in opposition to that phenomenon of apartheid. And somehow I feel that we've lost that kind of togetherness amongst the churches now. There's a little bit of a disparateness.
Yes, so I might be a little bit critical here. I think in terms of giving the new dispensation a chance, many of the larger churches simply stayed silent, even when things were going wrong. It was a sense of giving them a chance, but then we remain silent for too long. And we look at admirable figures like Desmond Tutu, who has never shut his mouth in the face of injustice and inhumanity, and has always encouraged this rainbow nation that he himself titled on the veranda of the Cape Town City Hall, I think, on the day that Mandela was released.
Yes.
So sometimes we give people a chance, and then we get too busy with our own things, and we lose our voice of engaging in the dialogue that will build both national unity and build individuals within the nation to take responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Martin, thank you very much for sharing with us on just some of the thoughts about Freedom Day from the perspective of our Christian faith and so on. I'm really grateful to you for doing that, and your insights are always very valuable and perceptive. Thank you very, very much indeed, and I wish you a wonderful, wonderful day.
And even though you have to work, Emil, you too.
Thank you very much indeed. There we go. That's my brother, Father Martin Badenhorst, talking to us about Freedom Day from the perspective of our Christian vocation.